heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
Would you agree with me when I make the statement that our climate has been changing for thousands of years on planet Earth? You think more about this climate change and you want to understand what's behind it. And as I will say to you today, I'll reference our talk today right up front with you as cloudy with a chance of stupidity. Now let's define stupidity a moment, please. Well, stupidity, it's behavior that shows a lack of good sense or judgment. I can't believe my own stupidity, right? One of the stupidities of our age. It's the quality of being stupid or unintelligent, basically. Now, that's a real definition. I didn't make that up, people. That defines the word. It also defines a lot of people. But then you begin to question yourself, well, what's really behind that, Malcolm? Is it really stupidity? Well, it's that and a whole lot more, people. It's greed, of course. It always comes back to that, doesn't it? Money, greed, power. Isn't that what they're after always? Well, you see, the problem is if they can convince enough people on many of the days of the week that there's a crisis, then, you know, you can really resurrect that whole Chicken Little film and keep that going for a lifetime, people, right? Absolutely. And this is not too far back where this thing started to become a real crisis, back in the Al Gore chapter, remember, you know? But global warming itself, let's define that a moment. That's where it started. It wasn't called climate change initially. It was global warming, right? Well, this is a gradual increase in the overall temperature of the Earth's atmosphere, generally attributed to the greenhouse effect caused by increased levels of carbon dioxide or chlorofluorocarbons and other pollutants. Let's keep it real simple, people. So that's what it was initially, global warming. Now, that sounds reasonable enough, yeah? We're going to burn up. We're going to go to hell fast. But all of a sudden, they stopped using those words. You didn't hear those anymore. They figured out that we were on to the fact of this global warming business really didn't match up to that definition, people. Now follow me here as I draw you a map real quickly here, okay? Let's define climate change. Well, climate change, it's a change in global or regional climate patterns. That sounds reasonable enough, huh? In particular, a change apparent from the mid to late 20th century onwards and attributed largely to the increased levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide produced by the use of fossil fuels. I mean, without fossil fuels, we're pretty well back in the Stone Age, people. So then you say, well, if they want to ban fossil fuels or turn us back or put us in these Paris Accords and things like that, what's that going to do? Well, do the math real quick, people. Now, again, you don't need to be a rocket scientist again. You can figure this out real fast. This would become the demise of our nation. We would be no further. We would not be on the top of anything. Now, listen, truth be told here, I am not an expert in climate change or global warming. And you might ask yourself, what the hell right do I have to even talk about it? Well, I may not be, but what I am is I am an expert in common sense. And I'm a damn good orator of facts, people. And that's what this is about today. Let's talk about some common sense and facts. That's all we need. Climate change. Well, think about it in this terms, people. It's the perfect vehicle to take away our freedoms. Now, just think if we have no airplanes, if this AOC character out of New York got her new Green Deal, yeah? Just think if we had no guns and we played to Kamala Harris and Beto O'Rourke, their program. Think if we had no beef because Bernie, AOC, and, you know, we'd have no more Whoppers at Burger King, right? Or the Big Mac, maybe, huh? If you eat that stuff, yeah. Right? I mean, you know, this is, and then, you know, maybe they want a little bit of forced abortion in there. Bernie and population control as a climate change solution. Maybe that's the next step, yeah? And of course, you know, I mentioned the Paris Accord a moment ago here. Now, you got to remember, the Paris Accord is where the United States paid for everything. And we're the ones that bent over backwards. And then, of course, President Trump pulls us out of there and everybody goes, oh, I can't believe this. You mean someone in the United States has a brain? Who's doing that over there? I mean, this country pays the lion's share of everything. 85% of our energy here comes from fossil fuels in this country. Now, do the math on this and take a look at France, for instance. 85% of theirs comes from nuclear power. Figure that out real quick, huh? You know, when the government controls everything, and that's the conversation even we've been having on healthcare for some years now, since the Obamacare debacle, and oh, you can even get into Medicare and Medicaid and all of that. Well, when the government controls whether you live or die, that's government healthcare right there, isn't it? All of this adds up to another word, globalist. And of course, we all know what the globalist means. These are people who want to dominate the world. These are people that don't want to, you know, this was against the face of the Trump campaign, the Trump election, the Trump presidency. He's not a globalist. He's more of a nationalist. He's more of an American. He's more of a patriot. I mean, it's real simple stuff here. He believes in the sanctity of this nation and this republic. And that's, again, that's a divide of words. But, you know, the thing about this I need you to understand when we draw this map out for you is this. If you take any of the words I just gave to you and you start to move them around real quick and real fast and you do a little dance while you're doing it, I can confuse the hell out of you real quick. And now when I tell you that the left is far smarter when it comes to confusing people, and the fact that they have the media in their pocket is also great ammunition for them. So the problem is, while everything I just say to you sounds pretty obvious, well, it's not obvious to a lot of people. Which is why it's important that this message gets out there. Now, again, the left is, they're smarter, I believe, when it comes to using media than the right. And I know you might say, well, Malcolm, that doesn't sound right. You're kind of insulting our own a little bit here. Yeah, the truth hurts, doesn't it, people? That's what we have to do here is convince enough people of what the real truth is, people. And we have to drive a message home. So when I say cloudy with a chance of stupidity, back to that definition, it's the quality of being stupid or unintelligent. Now, again, I didn't say you had to be a rocket science. You just have to follow the bouncing ball here, you see, you know. So when we talk about climate change or this global warming stuff or what have you, people, this is just a basic business propaganda program. This is like selling Tupperware. Remember Tupperware? Or the rainbow vacuum cleaners or the encyclopedias you sold when you were a kid or even newspapers out on the sidewalk, yeah? This is nothing more than that. This is a business opportunity. You can own a franchise, in fact. You can buy a franchise. Call it the Climate Change United or something. Put a name on it and sell people memberships to come in and get rich off of this thing and convince everybody that there's a massive problem and the earth is going to implode because of human beings. Of course, the earth, you know, it has a mind of its own. And the earth has been doing a lot of strange things well before man was ever here. Imagine that. When the left uses the words to push their agenda and they look at the business opportunity they put out there, you got to remember a lot of the people that are talking the trash here are the people that fly around in the fabulous jets and they have the great yachts. And they have staffs and servants and people to help them. And they make lots of money, people. It's not a bad life if you can get it. Again, it's a business opportunity. Step right up here, right? We're selling one for the team. That really defines stupidity. But it doesn't define stupidity for the people that are doing it. They actually are the smart ones. The stupidity is for the rest of us who fall for it. Now, that sounds a little harsh, I know. The truth always does, people. And more than that, you got to get the message out to other people. Because if we don't get out loud about this stuff, who's going to do it? NBC? CNN? Fox News? Any of those going to do it for you? I don't think so. Maybe the New York Times will help you out, yeah? Go figure, huh, people? Or maybe Google search or Facebook or Twitter or one of those, yeah. Yeah, they're all doing a swell job of getting your message out there on the right, aren't they now? So that's where we are today, people, on the climate change. And what's really interesting about this is the argument put forth here. I've spelled out, you know, climate change and global warming and globalist and what they're really after here. It's a business opportunity that the power brokers are using to control the globe. And as people that are coming together, it's part of a club. It's a club. Look at it that way. I've got a couple of gentlemen coming on here in just a moment to lay some facts out, and we're going to set the record straight in a very interesting way about this climate change. So I think we can change a few minds today, in fact. So again, I want to remind you to invite your Democrats in, your moderates, your left of center, bring them on to the Voice of a Nation, and let's educate the masses, people. That's the job here, number one.
Listen to Malcolm, the Voice of a Nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
USA Today ran a headline, Trump says climate change happens both ways. And this was interesting as well. And this was the trip that he had abroad in the UK, remember, when he met with Charles, the Prince of Wales, and they talked about climate change. And Prince Charles, he had his ear for about an hour and a half, actually. It was supposed to be like a 10-minute meet and greet. And he was there for like an hour and a half talking about, well, climate issues. Because, again, Charles is part of that globalist establishment. And this is, you know, this is how they stay in power, basically. And so Charles had been outspoken about a lot of these climate issues over some time, if you followed that. And, you know, President Trump has obviously expressed a lot of skepticism about this, about mankind's impact on climate change, basically. In fact, I'll go one step further for you. In 2015, Prince Charles said that climate change was to blame for the Syrian civil war. He actually said that. And he called for global action on the issue. Well, back to that meeting a moment ago, when asked by host Pierce Morgan, you remember him, right? And what Trump discussed with Prince Charles, Trump replied that Charles wanted future generations to have good climate as opposed to a disaster, to which Trump agreed. Of course, Trump blamed Russia, China, and India for their emissions and said, well, the United States has been among the cleanest climates there are based on all statistics. Let's bring on a couple of gentlemen here, find if that's true with what the president says there. We'll welcome on here. Dr. Jay Lehrer is here. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and former science director of the Heartland Institute. Dr. Joel Glass is here. He's an engineer working in the field of infrastructure for ultra-cold climate environments. He's got a fantastic book out you must get. It's on the America Out Loud bookstore and in Amazon or anywhere books are sold. Ice Age 2025, How to Prepare America and Your Family. Wow. And that certainly goes into the face of this global warming business here. This USA Today thing that we put out there, where the president says he blamed Russia, China, and India for their emissions, though he said the United States is among the cleanest climates there are based on all statistics, here's what I really wonder and worry about is this. Dr. Jay Lehrer, we always talk about the fact that these emissions specifically, that they're not exactly hazardous for our health. And from what I understand, we basically need them to have a green environment. And the fact of the matter is we're not heating up the way they've been predicting. We're actually, and Dr. Joel Glass will argue that in a moment, I'm sure, we're actually going on the reverse cycle of this. Well, then why would the president make a statement? Why do we get into this tit for tat game with the left that, well, Russia, China, and India have more of that bad stuff, you're calling it, and we have less of the bad stuff? Do you see where I'm at?
Entirely, Malcolm. Everything is upside down. The idea that there's something wrong with carbon dioxide emissions in our atmosphere is patently absurd. It would be, they could have picked some other kind of fraud or scam and said our developing the minerals in the earth would reduce gravity and we'd all float off into space. I mean, that is absurd in everybody's mind automatically. I wish they would understand that we only live on this planet because of carbon dioxide. It is the food that keeps plants alive, that feeds animals and feeds us. Without it, we could not be here, and it's likely why there isn't life. There is no life on other planets in our solar system. We have nothing, no idea beyond that. But they have everything upside down, and I would think that common sense would eventually get to the average person that they're trying to scam. And in your monologue, recognizing that it is a business for so many people, people need to wake up to that. There are so many groups and individuals making money on the fear of global warming. And as you point out, the leadership of the movement travel around in their private jets. And they've got to be laughing at how stupid people are to buy into their scams. There's a cottage industry in the science community that turns out these mathematical equations that are models that predict the climate's going to be a couple degrees warmer in 100 years when we couldn't predict the movement of Hurricane Dorian 3 hours out. People should be waking up to these. All of these people are scamming the public. Now, I'm hopeful that they chose such a ridiculous scheme to try to make us gullible and buy it that we will wake up by the election of 2020 and President Trump will have another 4 years to end the scam. Of course, as Joel Glass will tell us in a few minutes when he talks, we're not warming. We're going to be cooling in a few years, but I expect that these people who make a living at scamming us will figure out how to make global cooling a scam as well.
Yeah. You know, when you say they have it all upside down backwards, the whole conversation is, and this is kind of really what it's been to me, Jay. I've really been shaking my head on the whole thing. And I've really, again, I'm not an expert in this particular arena. I'm not an expert in a lot of arenas, but I am an expert in common sense and an orator of facts. And I qualified that up front with folks. I never want them to think differently or otherwise. But when I started to do the math on this one, Jay, I realized and recognized how upside down the facts are and how strange they all are that it is so backwards. This whole argument is just truly amazing. And I started to equate it to selling encyclopedias or newspapers as a boy, like a franchise or a lemonade stand. I mean, something you can make a lot of money with real quick. A bit of a scam, but, you know, what the hell? You make some money with it, Jay. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know if those vacuum cleaners really work that we sold when we were a kid, but we sold them, you know? So having said all that, let's bring in Dr. Joel Glass. And all right, so here's the thing I want you to explain to us, Joel, and just stay on this for a couple of moments, please, because we're not in a hurry here. Jay just mentions global warming versus global cooling. I find it highly ironic that these people, these smart people, that they have, the profiteers, if you will, that they figured out right away that we might be onto their term global warming. And they quickly did a shell game. You know, Joel, you know the shell game where you got three shells and you got a ball and you move it around the shells and the ball real quick to confuse and screw up people? That's kind of what they did. So, oh, no, let's call it climate change. That's it, climate change. That's the word. We'll use that. And so it seems to me that they figured out that people like you were going to expose the fact that we're not warming, we're cooling. So now it can be climate change. Now, that in itself, Joel, should be one hell of an argument for even a stupid, unintelligent people to understand.
Well, you're quite right. And as Jay said, carbon dioxide is presented as a villain when, in fact, it's necessary for life on Earth. And it's a wonderful molecule. I call it a victim. In fact, I have no idea how they, when this originated in the late 1990s, mm-hmm. how carbon dioxide was chosen. It's a very unlikely villain.
Joel, I like that. So let me go back and I love what you just said, a victim. Now, just keep going down that road because that is a perfect scenario. Go ahead. I love it.
Yes, it's a friendly little molecule. We can't live without it. Mm-hmm. As Jay has said many times, the more the better. It's wonderful for plant life. It's wonderful for animal life. There have been carbon dioxide levels which are 3 times, even 8 times what they are now. And the Earth was flourishing at that time with plant and animal life. It's very strange, you know, we exhale carbon dioxide, and if it's very evil, I've often wondered why the global warming hysterics and the people that are trying to, just as Jay said, they're trying to, and as you said, Malcolm, they're trying to frighten people into giving up their freedom because this imminent threat of CO2 mm-hmm. is facing us. Actually, the people that are doing this exhale CO2. This brings us to a very, very nasty side of the global warming fraud and the climate change fraud. It actually has a very nasty hidden beginning, and it has, this is a little bit controversial, but it's in my book. It has a genocidal aspect to it. We can see this in something so recent as AIOC having as part of her program the elimination of cows because they create methane, which is another very useful molecule. The more the better. And
let me translate that for people. That was the recent talking points when AOC and company came out and talked about the cows farting and they wanted to remove the cows. Is that correct?
Yes. The idea of killing cows is there are I think 120 million beef and dairy and other types of cows in the United States. And I don't know how many there are in the world, but must be quite a few. And
talk about useful information. I would have never known that, Joel. Go ahead.
Well, I didn't know it until this suggestion came up from the global warming movement to kill them. And I was very curious how many they had in their sights. And there are a lot of them, and they're actually very friendly, nice, loving animals. And this genocidal aspect of the global warming movement goes beyond that. There was I've seen it there in the beginning. The basis of global warming movement has a powerful media movement, which you both mentioned. The media is playing a role in driving this false narrative. ABC, CBS, NBC, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the White House Press Corps, MSNBC, and CNN, they're all driving this false narrative. And it began in 2004 with a very little known transfer of a great deal of cash from Mr. Soros or one of his organizations in the Open Society group, which provided to Al Gore. This is public knowledge. This is not breaking news, but it's not discussed very much.
That's right.
$30 million with the requirement, I would say, that it be used to spread the message of global warming far and wide. And I believe this money was responsible for the making of Al Gore's film. I doubt he could have made it without it, for many, many other media aspects of it. It's very difficult when there's a big lie, as in Soviet Russia or Nazi Germany, the media is controlled by a group with a particular agenda and is constantly repeating it. It's very difficult to fight the battle. And it's very important that people like both of you are fighting the battle. And there are many, actually, very good websites and radio programs and so forth that are doing it. But of course, the main media, the television and newspapers, they're all pushing this narrative, and it, the universities, of course, and Jay mentioned they do it for the money, which is why they do it. I mean, they know it's wrong. They know it's wrong. They know they're producing fraudulent studies. It started with James Hansen at NASA in the 1990s. He deliberately, it's called fudging the numbers, to be nice, but it's actual cheating. It's giving the wrong data. And they know it's wrong.
Yeah, we talked about that previously, Jay, Tom, and I did, about NASA and how they were messing with those numbers, Joel. Absolutely. But it's pretty widespread.
That's true. And until they've been doing it until very recently. Mm-hmm. And seems like they're changing a little bit now. It started there, and there was a study by the University of made at the University of Illinois about how different diets of different ethnic groups, which was Caucasian and Black and Hispanic, contribute to a CO2, and therefore global warming, which of course is a false pretense in the first place. But the idea that these people sitting in little cubby holes at the University of Illinois, which is where I'm from, by the way, not the University of Illinois, actually know what people are eating is very strange. And it seems like people are eating pretty much the same thing, but there's a little bit of difference. And the Caucasian group was eating a bit more potatoes and beef. And the study went into how dangerous this was for the future of the planet. So it definitely, the study did have some of these genocidal aspects. You know, I mean, certain groups, and of course, Bernie Sanders just mentioned aborting people to fight against climate change. Mm-hmm. So this aspect, this very nasty aspect of it, is there, just lurking under the surface. This idea of taking guns from people, it always works this way. First, the population is disarmed by a totalitarian group, and then they are shot by them. The people are shot because they can't defend themselves. This is what happened in Germany and in Soviet Russia and the Ukraine, which was controlled by Russia.
Joel, I want to ask you, I know you live in Finland now. Where were you born?
In Illinois.
Oh, you was born in Illinois. I'll be darned. Okay. And that's where you went to school, and now you are in Finland, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting. I didn't know that, buddy. I wanted to know that. So you understand, you've been in Finland a long time? Or?
A very, very long time.
Okay. You know, all roads always lead back to the globalists, don't they now? You put out a perfect example there, my friend, about... And people just take a pause a moment. Just let's take this moment to just think a minute about what he says. And when you hear him lay out the dots there and then talk about the guns at the end, and then, you know, you want to say, well, what are they really up to? You know, I tell you both right now, I thought this was all a fairy tale a few years ago. Jay, I'm going to tell you right up front here, Joel, I really didn't believe a lot of this, that they were really after our guns and that they were really after the whole climate thing. I wasn't sure. It sounded like a lot of conspiracy stuff, you know what I mean? And I didn't really buy into the fact that all that was happening because on the surface, it all looks clean and nice. You know what I mean? Everything's put in its right place. And God forbid the leaders would do that. And certainly all the media wouldn't do that. And oh, the universities clearly wouldn't do that, as Joel just says, right? And so you see what I mean? But now what I point out to you, Jay, right now, that's the danger we're dealing with. Because on the surface, everything looks very tidy in the kitchen. You really can't notice anything that is out of place, Jay. And you're really not going to, on its face, distrust the leadership. Most people don't. I'm talking about average folks here now. They don't really question what's going on there with leadership. And certainly back to Joel's point just now, Jay. I mean, average folks are not going to believe all these universities and educators would do such lying, bold-faced lies. They wouldn't think that all the media would do all this lying. And they don't really think they're after all of this. Do you see the problem, Jay?
I do, Malcolm. And you're exactly right. They don't see it. but it's all there. But you don't really have to have a complicated conspiracy. If we start with the globalist idea, in every country there are super rich people, billionaires with a lot of power, looking for something to do. And that something, unfortunately, is how much more power they can obtain in order to control the whole world. So it's a very loose conspiracy, but it's really a natural order of things. When you have everything you want and you can have anything, about all you can then search for is a little more power to actually control society. So that
Jay, that makes sense to me. I buy what you say there. I mean, that's the best explanation I've heard, actually, because I'm always asking why, Jay, why? And I never understand what the why is. You just put out a great explanation just in those couple sentences as to what the why is. We need to get these people involved into ping pong or golf or tennis or something, bud. Come on.
You're exactly right. There's nothing they can't have. And so world domination becomes the thing. And it's been true for many, many centuries. I mean, long before we had an advanced standard of living, there were always powers around the world trying to control the world. They married their children to the heads of other states, and they gained power in that way. Mm-hmm. But the globalist group of rich people, and Joel mentioned George Soros, has been the financier in this country to move socialism, try to defeat capitalism, playing a role in financing universities so they would turn left. But the nature of academia lends itself to a leftist thought process. So in the universities, it's more of a philosophical thing where, you know, people don't do useful work. They just teach and study, and they always tend to lean left, certainly 90% of them. The media, they want power too. They want to, they know one thing, fear sells. Their newspapers, their magazines, their blogs, fear sells. My daughter is a TV anchor on a station in California, and sadly, when I go to see her, the news is all bad, and she tells me, you know, that's what sells. So it's not that hard to have everything coalesce on the negative side. And that's why you have your program and Malcolm Out Loud. There are a number of us that just have to go out and battle every single day to fight back what is going on in the world. We are so lucky that Donald Trump was elected a couple of years ago, and that he's given hope to not only our country, the whole world. And the next year and a few months, those of us who recognize all the things that you and Joel and I have put forth here today, we've got to work very hard to give him another 4 years, and maybe common sense will win out, not only here, but in the rest of the world as well.
Jay, you and I talk all the time about the fight of good versus evil. I know that's near and dear to you, and it certainly is. That's the whole impetus of this show, this program. In fact, you were on the first couple of shows, Jay. You remember that? You were on the second show.
Yeah. I certainly do remember, and it is a battle of good and evil, and it goes back to the beginning of time. It will be fought forever. There is no winning. There is only fighting. Those of us who are warriors in this battle, we got to get out there every day and battle. Then we got to go home and recharge our batteries in our own private lives. But it's an never-ending battle for those of us who choose to make it a major part of our life.
All of the people we're talking about right now, these people in power seeking, and you put out a great thought process there about the globalist and the fact that this has been going on forever. Now, when Jay says that, you got to remember back and go into time, people, and there always have been those power seekers and the people, as he said, who have more money than they possibly need and more power than they possibly need, and they're bored as hell, don't quite know what to do. But here's the thing, Jay, what I'm wondering, I want to ask you, and I don't know the answer to this, but these kinds of people that we're speaking about here now, I started thinking about, Jay, as you were talking about that, I started thinking to myself that my mind does this. It wanders this way. I think I have ADDDDDDD. And I started thinking, Jay, I wish I had those billions of dollars. That would be really nice. And then I thought to myself, Jay, if I had those billions of dollars, would I still have a heart of good? These people in these positions and all of these media conglomerates and political positions and what have you, do they all have evil in their heart? Or do you believe in your heart? Are they all part of the evil franchise? Or is it possible some of them are good and just got caught up into a bad deal? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
Well, I think you're right. I think some of them are good and got caught up in a bad deal. But I don't know where it was first written. Perhaps you do know. Money is indeed the root of all evil.
Yeah.
And I think that most people that have too much money, in looking around what to do next, they become less good and a little more evil. I had a situation in my life, very unique. Long, long ago when I was younger, I was involved in a business deal. And I misunderstood a meeting that I was in, and that for a moment, I actually thought I was going to be very, very rich. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, my mind flashed to the fact that, gee, now I could have anything I wanted. And my reaction was not positive. It was negative. It was actually momentarily depression. Because it's exciting in your life to work for things you do not have. That's what drives most people, not necessarily money, but attaining a stature in athletics, attaining a level of excellence. But being able to have everything you want turns out to be not a good thing. And I think people who are good tend to lean toward evil, because that's the next step up, which is generally power. And what we're talking about is world power. And I want to say something about Joel's new book, Ice Age 2025. I recommended it to a friend who immediately read it, and he had a criticism of the book. He said there was too much politics explaining why all the wrong science is around. And in the book, Joel really calls a spade, pointing out what's wrong with our political system today. And I said to him, but that's absolutely true. I mean, one of the great things about Joel's book is he doesn't mince words. He simply tells the truth. I have a new book coming out, and on the cover, I say on the book that the impact of man on the thermostat of the planet is zero. And someone said, gee, I ought to say near zero, because more people might be inclined to read it rather than dismiss it. Well, I don't think you can argue with the truth. I don't think the truth should be watered down. I think everything should be done as accurately as you can do. And one of the things that I think we may one day at least get the upper hand in this global warming, climate change fraud is that man does have no impact on the temperature of Earth.
Joel, picking up where Jay just puts out there, and talking about global cooling, are we headed to the next ice age?
Jay has developed a couple charts which shows the very tiny, tiny amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the huge amount of other factors which might lead to cooling, actually, such as clouds. And the tiny, tiny, tiny amount of CO2, it's about 3% of the total atmosphere, and the human, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, and the human percentage of that is 3% of that. So it's a very, very tiny, the idea that such a small amount of gas in the atmosphere could have any effect at all doesn't make any sense. Now, these charts show it beautifully.
Well, if that's the case, then what I want to ask you is this, and back to, you know, ignorance and trying to inform the public, okay? Let me ask you. So when Trump was questioned, when the president was questioned after that meeting with the Prince Charles there, of the Prince of Wales, after that big trip abroad, and he was asked about this. He came back and said, well, Russia, China, and India, for their emissions, they have more, and the United States is among the cleanest climates there are. That doesn't, I'm going to take a shot here to both of you and say this. My argument back would be that really doesn't help us out when politicians or leaders, for a better word here, make such statements, because that's not really true what he's saying either. The real answer would have been more on the line of what we're saying. That, you know, yeah, and that this is not bad for the planet, let's be clear. So my question is, or point is he informed? Is President Trump informed on what we're really talking about right here? Jay, do you think he is?
Well, I know that he is, because a very close friend of mine, Will Happer, is his primary science advisor, and Will has told him everything that Joel and I would.
So does he make a statement like that just to sort of play with the politics of it? Is that why he's saying something like that, because he can't really say what we're saying?
100%, Malcolm. Right. Unfortunately, I think the art of politics is defined as the art of compromise, and evidently to get things done politically, you've got to give a little to get a little. You and I and Joel don't have those personalities. We're not willing to give away what we know to be true in order to get a little of what we want. But that's exactly right.
And the fact that things are not always what they appear. You remember, you know, when you're driving down the road and you look at your mirror, your side mirror there, and it says things may be closer than they really appear. That's kind of the way the world is, actually, if you think about it. We're all looking through that side mirror of the car. I think of that often, that crazy message that's on the side of our little windows there. You know what I'm talking about, people. And it says things may appear closer than they are. It's like, hell yes, better move that car along. But, you know, I don't know. There's something to that, people. I think we're all living in sort of a shaded program here. We're not really getting the truth most of the time. And then you got to wonder, how are we going to make it through, Malcolm? We got to keep bringing the truth, the out loud truth to you, which is the old essence of this program here and what we're doing with the Voice of a Nation here. But again, I wanted clarification from Jay and Joel on that. And I think Jay just nailed that down and said, well, they have to play the game, basically. The problem, what worries me, people, is by playing the game, how many people are we not really informing? So I got to plead with you again and ask you to please get this message out to people, because if we don't do the job we need to do here, I'm afraid the price we're going to pay is not a good price to pay for our kids and for these next generations. Now, I say that not casually, but we are at a bit of a tipping point, aren't we? I think the globalists sort of have our tail here. They sort of are onto it, and they're ready to. Do you feel like you're at a fancy dinner somewhere and somebody's going to pull the tablecloth off the table and surprise you? Or, you know, there's something weird about what's going on in politics these days and around the world. It doesn't feel like business as usual.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Dr. Joel Glass is here. He's an engineer working in the field of infrastructure for ultra cold climate environments. Again, he's lives in Finland. His book Ice Age 2025: How to Prepare America and Your Family goes into the face of all of these hypocrites out there and the crazy people that are talking about this global warming business. So that book is on Amazon and in the America Out Loud bookstore. Please find it there, as well as you'll find all the books from all of our experts and our leading guest are all in that bookstore. It's a great place to go and favor those that are smart people. We like smart people, right? You know, I grew up as a young boy. I always remember that as a lesson my grandmother told me way back, is that surround yourself, Malcolm, with people that are smarter than you. And so I've done that as a rule in my life. Speaking about smarter than I, Dr. Jay Lehr is here as well. He's a senior policy analyst with the International Climate Science Coalition and former science director of the Heartland Institute. So, guys, we got two smart guys here and a smart ass, so we're in pretty good shape, gentlemen. Jay, I want to tell you something. There was another story ran in early 2018, Politico, one of my favorite publications that I go to find out what the left is thinking. And so they said, climate change skeptics run the Trump administration. And I started to look at that a little closer here, as I like to do. It says, President Barack Obama's attempt to help unite the world against the threat of rising sea levels, which, by the way, people, which is why Barack and Michelle Obama are going to buy that $15 million mansion up there on the Cape, right on the ocean. Oh, man, because they're worried about the sea rising. Can you see them in their living room now as the ocean comes up? And exactly. Politico goes on and says, the president and his team have scrubbed mentions of climate change from government websites, kicked scientists off advisory boards, repudiated the Obama administration's greenhouse gas regulations, and made the United States the only nation on Earth to reject the 2015 Paris Agreement on global warming. And the president they're speaking about, of course, is President Trump. Now, this was a big deal, Jay, as you remember here, with the whole Paris Accord. And again, there's this upside down backwards argument about China and India. And we started arguing about that. All of our political talking heads started saying, well, they're using more than us. Of course, Dr. Joel Glass would say, yeah, but it doesn't really matter. This stuff isn't really changing the earth. So what the hell are you all arguing about? It seems like an empty argument, but it's like we got to play political ping pong with these people because of their power they have here. It's all a little strange to me. Jay, I tell you what. It's a musical chairs kind of game, and it's hard to follow this, quite frankly. I see where people get lost in the weeds. I have a better understanding now because of all of you than I've ever had. But it's easy to get lost in the weeds with this argument because we're all being buffaloed and the wool is being pulled over our eyes. And people are out living their lives. They don't eat the stuff for breakfast, Jay. And so getting the message out there is going to be key. But you remember the whole Paris Accord and that whole argument here. And let me say this, Jay, and then I'll turn it to you here. Trump's White House excluded rise in temperatures from the list of threats in its December national security strategy, is what Politico said, contradicting the approach of both the Obama and George W. Bush administrations. And let me point out to all of our Republican friends out there, George W. Bush is equally corrupt as Obama, and he was part of the big government apparatus in the deep state, which tells you I go after both the right and the left. I don't really care where they fall. And stupidity is stupidity as defined, right? And so, Jay, back to this whole thing here with this political article in the Paris Accord and the global warming thing. This was a massive joke played on the world, and more so a massive joke played on taxpayers of the United States, was it not?
It certainly was. And as you read all the wonderful things that Mr. Trump did to overturn and change things and get rid of the climate stuff on government websites, a broad smile creeped over my face because everything he has done has been absolutely wonderful. But also to comment about surrounding yourself with bright people, that has been my secret in life. I have 30 books in print. I never wrote one of them alone. I always had people helping me. All those people were smarter than I. But I will take some credit for Mr. Trump pulling out of the Paris Accord and doing the things he's doing. I was chosen to be an advisor to him before he actually was inaugurated. And I was asked to prepare materials for the president about climate change to give him a tutorial. And I did that. I sent him, I was expecting to go to the Trump Hotel, meet him and present the material. They complimented me and said the material I sent him was so good, it was self-explanatory, and I didn't need to come and meet the president. I was a little disappointed, but also pleased. But I've had a continuing relationship with scientists at key people in the White House that led him to do the great things he's done. But I'm really much more optimistic than you, because I think because they own the media, because they own all the governments around the world, they have now gone too far. When CNN put on a 7-hour program last week allowing every Democratic candidate to talk 40 minutes on climate change, it got the lowest rating of any network show in history. These people are ridiculous, and I am very confident that there are common sense people throughout our nation and really throughout the world that are finally realizing these people are ridiculous, and they're selling out our standard of living, our society. And I think there's a good chance we can take back these governments and take back.
Well, you are an optimist. Everything I know about you, and I'm an optimist too, buddy. Don't think I'm a pessimist, but I'm also a realist. I told you up front, I'm a guy of common sense. And that's really where I come from. You know, Jay, what you just said too proves that, which is really kind of an odd thing to say, but back to the CNN comment you just said in the town hall meeting, they're not really in it, Jay, for profits. They're in it for an agenda. Because a lot of people say, well, but the media is going to do because of the profits. But Jay, if they put on a 7-hour extravaganza on this with low ratings and got no money, basically that's a wash or a bad deal at that. That tells you what I'm pointing out here, Jay. That tells you how critical this agenda is to people like this. You follow me? You know?
Yes.
Yeah, that's an investment they put forward to do that. They didn't make money from that. They lose money from those kinds of things. But they're willing to do that to sink the country or sink the world or whatever the hell their program is. I don't know. Well, listen, both of you guys have a one of the certainly top articles, the most read articles. Dr. Jay Lehrer and Dr. Joel Glass are co-authored together, back to the point of what Jay was just saying with smart people and co-authoring, and they wrote and it's still being read every day by many, 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 many people. It's called The Disgraceful Use of Children to Promote the Climate Change Delusion. You will find this, friends, on AmericaOutloud.com. If you don't see it on the front page, depending on when you hear this program, then go to the bloggers and look up Dr. Jay Lehrer. Go to his page and you will find it there for sure. As you'll find, you'll be busy there. Do it on a rainy weekend because you'll have a lot of reading to do. Okay? There's a lot of great stuff in there to read, basically. If you want to be educated on this topic, that's where to go. But in this article here, Dr. Joel Glass, let me turn it to you a minute. I want to say this here and I want you to opine on this. You say here, how do you reason with a child holding up a sign that says there is no planet B or that sea levels are rising, which has happened since the end of the last glaciation? Try explaining that to a child holding a picture of a polar bear that asks, what will you do to save me, that the Arctic animal is thriving and flourishing despite less sea ice? Man, that is well written.
The movement doesn't really care about people. The climate change movement signals virtue that they care about people and would like a better life for them, but nothing could be further from the truth. The poster child of the Al Gore, he is now not a very positive media image, and the new one, of course, is the teenage young lady from Sweden, Greta Thunberg. And an example of how little people in this movement care about other people is what they have done with this young girl who has explained that she has Asperger's and other serious health issues, and they stuck her on a boat, a small boat, to make the trip across the Atlantic Ocean, which is, I've been sailing since I was 10 years old. I would never do anything like that. It's extremely dangerous to take a ship so small or a boat so small and make a trip like that. And it's amazing they made it at all. The crew that brought it, the four people, don't want to take it back, and they're flying back to Europe. They wouldn't do it again. No one in their right mind would. And that they would put this girl through this experience. When she landed in New York, there's a video of her speech, and it's very clear that the trip had very harmful effects on her. She's having small seizures and glitches with her face. I really feel sorry for her. However, I don't feel sorry about what for her in terms of what she's doing, because she's causing a lot of harm. But the movement really is all about power and money, and not really concerned with people.
That's always what it comes down to, again, and that's the lesson of today, for certain here. You've learned a lot today, people. When I talked to you and we started out and we said cloudy with a chance of stupidity, and if you follow the puzzle we put together today for you, the map we've drawn, if you will, you're much more informed now as to what the problem is. Now, your job is to get loud. It's to, as I say, get involved, get loud. Your job is to get this out there to people. You must share the information. You must share the show, share the data, share everything. Before we leave, and as you're still listening here to the program, I want to share with you a special message here. So if you're listening to this on talk radio, and when I say that, remember, this show lives on in infinity because it lives on in the podcast world. So you can hear this on demand months and years from now. But as of this moment right now, as you are listening to this on the 11th of September here, I want to mention to you that it is a special day and that it is the birthday of Dr. Jay Lehr. Now, I mention that on talk radio because I wanted you to know that this man, this dear friend of mine and this special voice you are hearing today, he happens to be the ripe young age of 83 in this year of 2019. And someone the other day, this conversation had come up and they were listening to you on the program, Jay, and they were listening to your wit and your enthusiasm and your knowledge base, and they would have guessed you were probably 30 years younger than that, clearly. So you are now a young 83 today, and we want to wish you a happy birthday, my dear friend.
Malcolm, I appreciate that very much. My wife sees me as an eight-year-old. As long as I stay away from mirrors, I feel like I'm 21, and I think it's all about a mental attitude more than anything else. And in my life, I've been battling good versus evil, and it's kept the flame of alive that has really kept me very young, and I look forward to a few more decades to go.
Amen for that. Amen for that, brother, for sure. Well, we will sing to you on the way out here. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Dr. Jay Lehr, my dear friend. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jay Lehr. Happy birthday to you. And a big thank you here to Dr. Joel Glass, Dr. Jay Lehr. It's time to get involved and get loud.